When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I feel like we're not being assertive enough with our opinions.
I was feeling the same way.
So
you took a nun and you're...
Epic fantasy tier. That's going...
The nun wants to bone. Written on that page. Uh-huh. Wary.
W-E-R-E-S.
F tier, please.
Okay. If you're a romanticy lover, this is for you. This cover sucks.
Can I...
Yeah, this cover sucks. I'm not even going to lie. I'm somewhat interested in this plot line.
Same, actually. It doesn't sound that bad. Love should be painful and suffering. And if you're not suffering for your
love,
it's not true love.
We learned
a lot. Unless you're being physically abused, it's not true love. That's what I learned from A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Clip that. Welcome back to another spicy episode of the To The Ramble podcast. My name is Austin.
And my name is Richard.
And we are doing a classic tier list. People like our tier lists.
They always like them. We got to give you guys what you want, actually. Some of the times, we can't just ramble about our, you know, ignorant takes on history. You know, that's what I enjoy talking about.
But it's time for ignorant takes on romanticism.
Yes.
And we're going to go through, I got the...
Nothing better than two guys that don't read romanticism. Rank and judge romanticism.
We have read one of these.
We have read one.
We've read
Akutar. Makes us an internet expert.
1/18th of the books we have actually read.
There we go.
That's better than 0/18ths, according to my math. And we're not just going to do... We do first lines for some of these other videos, but today I picked the top 18 books that are labeled romanticism on Goodreads.
Okay.
Book ones, that is. So I skipped over the series. So if Akutar had all five of them up there. So I just picked the first book of the series. These are the 18 most popular. This is what romanticism has to offer. Okay.
All right.
And we're going to tier rank them based on their blurbs on how interested we would be in reading the story. And for anybody out there who's read these stories, you know what we don't. We have not read all these except for Akutar.
And you guys can let us know if any of these, did we mess up a ranking? Is the blurb just... not a good indication of what the book is and which one we should actually read. Let us know down in the comments below.
We could even factor the cover in a little bit of our take here. If we really enjoy the cover, maybe we can bump it up.
That is a factor. So if it will look good on my shelf,
significant factor. Significant factor.
It's the only way to... I personally think that the cover is what you should mostly judge a book on. I'm a big fan of it.
Also, not a bad thing for a genre you're very unfamiliar with. Typically a good thing to go with. Because romanticism is specific.
I thought you were going to say with also a good policy to have with judging people. But yeah.
No.
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 A little bit.
Well, how would you even classify romanticism versus romance fantasy? Is there a difference?
Is there a difference?
I think, so from my little research, just to preface, we had romance fantasy was just kind of combined into romanticism, but what would you classify as, what is a romanticism book?
I mean, it's your standard fantasy world and setting, but the primary story is focused on a love story.
The fantasy elements are almost grayed out. Not grayed out, it's the background to the focal point is on the romance, maybe something like that?
I guess so. Yeah. I just think more... fantasy first, then romance.
Oh,
rather than a romance fantasy, it'd be romance is first and fantasy second.
Yeah.
Maybe that's kind of it.
Oh, yeah. The romantasy versus romance fantasy is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, I think those are the same things.
I know they are.
Right, right. Okay, you're talking. Got it.
You asked me what the difference was, and there's not really much, but.
No.
If at all. Because they're both words are in the same.
We're going into this. With we're going. I do want to say we're not here to make fun of this genre, because there's a lot to make fun of in our genre. Okay, yeah. There's plenty of subject matter. We're going in this with fair and honest. We will tell you when we like it. We will tell you when we don't. And I'm so much getting into the romantasy setting that you could see our tier list here, how we're doing this. We have S tier, A tier, B, C, D, F tier. And every time we have a bottom tier. Usually it's a bad show.
You picked this
Do you
time?
Know what I picked this time?
I don't.
Usually it's a show like Kenobi, awful. Game of Thrones, Season 8, awful. This episode, the bottom tier, is epic fantasy.
Yeah, that's about fair.
Okay. You ready for the very first book?
Yeah.
The very first book on our list is called A Fate Inked in Blood. Have you ever heard of it, Rich?
You know I haven't.
This is the Saga of the Unfated. It has a 4.04 on Goodreads. And here's the blurb, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A shield maiden blessed by the gods battles to unite a nation under a power-hungry king while also fighting her growing desire for his fiery son. In this Norse-inspired fantasy romance from the best-selling author of the Bridge Kingdom series, bound in an unwanted marriage, Freya spends her days gutting fish but dreams of becoming a warrior and of putting an axe in her boorish husband's back. Freya's dreams abruptly become reality when her husband betrays her to the region's Jarl, landing her in a fight to the death against his son, Bjorn.
I think it's Jarl, but...
Jarl, thank you. Appreciate it. To survive, Freya is forced to reveal her deepest secret. She possesses a drop of a goddess's blood, which makes her a shield maiden with magic capable of repelling any attack. It was foretold such a magic would unite the fractured nation of Skaland beneath the one who controls the shield maiden's fate. Believing he's destined to rule Skaland as king, the fanatical Jarl binds Freya with a blood oath and orders Bjorn to protect her from their enemies. Desperate to prove her strength, Freya must train to fight and learn to control her magic, all while facing perilous tests set by the gods. The greatest test of all, however, may be resisting her forbidden attraction to Bjorn. If Freya succumbs to her lust for the charming and fierce warrior, she risks not only her own destiny, but the fate of all the people she swore to protect.
I'll be honest, this ranks pretty highly. The reason is the whole world setting. I've seen this before. I don't particularly care. Like, okay, Norse, fun, standard, who cares? But sound juicy romance of she wants to kill her husband and she's apparently now in love with. She said her husband's son, right?
She said her. Whoa, husband's son.
Like from a different marriage or something? Like, who is this, the young strapping lad that has caught her attention?
Oh, Bjorn. Bjorn, the warrior.
Oh, okay. Just the other young guy. Fair enough.
He's in an unwanted marriage.
Oh, as well as her.
Sorry. Freya's in the unwanted marriage, dreams of becoming a warrior, and comes reality. Okay, it's landing her in a fight to the death against his son, Bjorn. Oh, so it is... Her husband betrays her to join the region's Jarl. It's the region's Jarl's son.
The Jarl's
I believe,
son
is Bjorn.
Understood.
Not her husband's child.
Good. Okay.
Not good. That would have been a great freaking romance to start off. Some Oedipus complex. Like, ooh.
Still, the romance sounds significantly more interesting than the fantasy world.
I'm not even going to lie. I'm somewhat interested in this plot line.
Same, actually. It actually doesn't sound that bad. Sounds pretty good to me.
Is it too strong to start us off with an A tier book?
Honestly, start us off with an A. We, depending on what comes out in the rest of these, may push it to S.
Let's put that up to A. Because
I'll be honest, I didn't expect to actually want to read any of these books. Like, actually really, really want to. I'd read it.
So if it's a we're reading this, what's going S, A tier? That has to go away.
Something like that, yeah.
Is that's actually interesting.
Yeah, sounds fun.
Not bad. So whoever's read that book, let us know if we're completely off on how interesting it is.
Could be the blurb is just so much better than the book. I mean, we were confused. I was confused in the blurb as it was. So,
well, we started off strong. Now we're going to go to something we're familiar with, Rich.
Okay.
That is ACOTAR. A Court of Thorns and Roses. This is a whole series. We're familiar. We read book one. We're going to read book two eventually. Don't you worry.
Yeah. Do you want to read the blurb anyway for the people who have not read it?
Absolutely. It's a quicker blurb, too. So this has, by the way, this has 2.6 something million ratings on Goodreads. It's one of the most popular romantasy books, one of the most popular fantasy books today.
Yeah.
This is huge. And this is what the story is. When 19-year-old Huntress Feyre, we got told on that episode. Check out our review for that, by the way. That was a good time. We enjoyed ourselves. When 19-year-old Huntress Feyre kills a wolf in the woods, a terrifying creature arrives to demand retribution. Dragged to a treacherous magical land she knows about only from legends, Feyre discovers that her captor is not truly a beast, but one of the lethal immortal fairies who once ruled her world. At least, he's not a beast all the time. As she adapts to her new home, her feelings for a fairy, Tamlin, transform from icy hostility into a fiery passion that burns through every lie she's ever been told about the beautiful, dangerous world about the Fae. But something is not right about the Fairylands. An ancient, wicked shadow is growing, and Feyre must find a way to stop it or doom Tamlin and his world forever. Now, we know the whole book. Now are we judging the blurb?
You know what? Let's cheat a little bit. Let's judge the actual book.
Honestly, Sarah J. Maas, I see why she's popular.
I get it.
I understand it.
Though, I do know everyone's talking, like, in our comments before, it's like, hey, look, first book you get through. Something like the second book on is actually, like, that's pretty good. Like, later books are actually good. This one was, like, the guilty pleasure book for people.
Okay.
And they get through it. I've heard.
It's simple enough to say it's a Beauty and the Beast retelling.
Yeah. As far as romanticy goes, I'd personally want to give it like a C tier. It's kind of our benchmark.
Because we're also looking, if we didn't love the romance, the point is to love the romance. And since we've read the book and went, you know, it's at the romanticy genre, if we're right about this, there's probably better romances out there for a book one.
I would assume so.
Let's go C tier. We'll hold judgment till we read book two, which we will. I promise.
One of these days.
All right. Our very next book here is just one word, Rich. It is Bride. Have you ever heard of this one?
You know I haven't.
Every single one we're just going to... So this one is called Bride, and this was written by Allie Hazelwood. And this has 265,000 ratings on Goodreads, and it has a total of a 4.07. Another one above a 4. This book is about this. It's a dangerous alliance between a vampire bride and an alpha werewolf becomes a love deep enough to sink your teeth into in this new paranormal romance. Misery Lark, the only daughter of the most powerful vampire councilman of the Southwest, is an outcast again. Her days of living in anonymity among the humans are over. She has been called upon to...
Anonymity?
Okay. Upon to uphold a historical peacekeeping alliance between the vampires and their mortal enemies, the Wehries. And she sees little...
No. Pause that a second.
Yeah.
Did they write werewolf and you cut off the word? Or is written on that page, Wehry?
W-E-R-E-S.
F tier, please.
Okay, we'll just stop.
Fine, finish it. I'm
no.
Put it there. Finish.
We'll put
the blurb.
It there for now. Okay.
It deserves that for using the term wary in a more serious context.
Can we bump ACOTAR down for using Feyre and having fairies? I think we should bump it down one.
Let's hold reserve.
Okay.
Let's continue this blurb. I'm sorry. I had to interrupt.
I'd like to interrupt. Interrupt anytime. I'm not beholden to these blurbs. Please feel free. We could stop the video anytime you want. Okay. Vampires and their mortal enemies, the Wehries, and she sees little choice but to surrender herself in the exchange again. Wehries are ruthless and unpredictable, and their alpha, Lo Morland, is no exception. He rules his pack with absolute authority, but not without justice, and unlike the Vampire Council, not without feeling. It's clear from the way he tracks Misery's every movement that he doesn't trust her, if only he knew how right he was. Because Misery has her own reasons to agree to this marriage of convenience. Reasons that have nothing to do with politics or alliances and everything to do with the only thing she's ever cared about. And she is willing to do whatever it takes to get back what's hers, even if it means a life alone in the wary territory, alone with the wolf.
This sounds like a way worse version of Court of Thorns and Roses.
I think we go epic fantasy. Do we do it this early? Do we go this early?
I'd avoid this one with a 10-foot.
Then let's go epic fantasy. So Fair enough. Would we read this book? And if we're doing that in context with the previous two, we did read ACOTAR, so we should stay in C.
Yeah.
And that one, we should stay in A. I think that was actually a decent blurb.
Yeah, no, I'd read it.
I really like that blurb.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're on the same page.
Bride sounds... No. That's not for me. I'm sorry. That's... No.
It seems Twilight-esque.
Worse. It just... Yeah.
But we are... No. We're clarifying. We're judging this on would we read the book.
We would not.
Okay.
Yeah, and here we go. Just to cut you off... Cut you off from the pass.
Yes.
I have not heard of this next book.
It's called The Bridge Kingdom. And why? You're saying it because of the cover.
Who would have thunked it? I have not.
It is written by Danielle L. Jensen. And this book has... Okay, even if you're a romanticy lover, and this is for you. This cover sucks.
Can I?
Yeah, this cover sucks.
Oh.
I don't like that.
Hold on a minute.
I don't like it.
Is that better than Assassin's Apprentice?
Which one's Assassin's? Do we have that here? Yeah, we should, right? Let me see. Assassin's Apprentice. It is. Oh, yeah. Assassin's Apprentice is way better.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, you guys judge whichever one's better.
There actually is a... Robin Hobb book that is worse. It's the worst cover I've seen. It's one of the live ship trader books for the audiobook.
Oh, the Ship of Magic, that one?
I believe Kendall on our Patreon showed me the book, and
it was something special.
It's something special. Atrocious.
Kendall from where?
From our Patreon, our exclusive Discord server where we talk about books. We have a book club once a month that people join. There's also community-led book clubs. It's a lot of fun. We have, five book clubs going on this month alone, something like.
And the official book club is Malazan. But also, we had a community book club I was in for ACOTAR. We had an ACOTAR book club discussion. Fourth Wing could be next. I don't know.
One of these upcoming months, I joined the Lonesome Dove book club, so that's going to be a lot of fun. But hey, if you want to join us and get exclusive connection with us and talk with us, go ahead, click the link in the description below. And join our Patreon.
You could also vote on the books we read with you and force us to read whatever this is, because the cover is not enticing me.
No.
Maybe the blurb will.
Maybe.
The blurb is this. It's a warrior princess trained in isolation. Lara is driven by two certainties. The first is that King Arryn of the Bridge Kingdom is her enemy. And the second is that she'll be the one to bring him to his knees. The only route through a storm-ravaged world, the Bridge Kingdom, enriches itself and deprives its rivals, including Lara's homeland. So when she's sent as a bride under the guise of peace, Lara is prepared to do whatever it takes to fracture its impenetrable defenses and the defenses of its king. Yet as she infiltrates her new home and gains a deeper understanding of the war to possess the bridge, Lara begins to question whether she's the hero or the villain. And as far as feelings for Arryn transform... So let me say that again. And as her feelings for Arryn transform from frosty hostility to fierce passion, Lara must choose which kingdom she'll save and which kingdom she'll destroy.
Honestly, not terrible. That's not a terrible blurb. I read that way more than Bride. Way more.
It really impressed me with the low expectations of the cover. And I will say, I think I'd even read that more than ACOTAR. I think it goes C tier above ACOTAR.
I'd put it B tier.
You would?
Yeah. Honestly... Because, that's not a terrible premise. The whole, I have not read, I guess ACOTAR's kind of enemies to lovers thing, but I don't know, this one seems a bit more direct, actual enemy, not just hostile, weird, kidnapper person.
It's your enemies to lovers trope, but it really did it for you. B-tier worthy.
B-tier, yeah.
Okay.
Not a terrible idea for a book.
Okay. B-tier will go, and the next one will go toward what I say.
Maybe.
Okay. this was the Bridge Kingdom. And again, if people are romantasy readers and have read these, let us know how off or on we are with these.
Well, just books. Confirm our bias. So we know we're right. We've not read the book. We know we're right. We're judging the books by their covers with 100% accuracy.
This next one is called Caraval. And I hate to break it to you. This is the first one with below a 4 on Goodreads. That's never a good sign.
That's not a good sign.
Well, also some great books like The Grace of Kings have below a 4. This is How You Lose a Time War has below a 4. People are just...
That means it's going for an actual niche and is not broad appeal.
Exactly.
Which could be a good thing.
That could be. Because this is what this book is about. And the cover's pretty cool. I like it better than the other one. Maybe just my low expectations for the others. But this looks neat. Okay.
Okay.
A legendary competition, a mesmerizing romance, an unbreakable bond between two sisters. Scarlet Dragna has never left the tiny island where she and her sister Tella live with their powerful and cruel father. Now, Scarlet's father has arranged a marriage for her, and Scarlet thinks her dreams of seeing Caraval, the faraway, once-a-year performance where the audience participates in the show, are over. But this year, Scarlet's long-dreamt-of invitation finally arrives. With the help of a mysterious sailor, Tella whisks Scarlet away to the show. Only as soon as they arrive, Tella is kidnapped by the Caraval's mastermind organizer, Legend. It turns out that this season's Caraval revolves around Tella, and whoever finds her first is the winner. Scarlet has been told that everything that happens during Caraval is only an elaborate performance. Nevertheless, she becomes enmeshed in a game of love, heartbreak, and magic, and whether Caraval is real or not, Scarlet must find Tella before the 5 nights of the game are over, or dangerous domino effects of consequences will be set off, and her beloved sister will disappear forever. That's interesting!
Okay. Sounds like a fun book, actually.
A cool kind of twist. And so this villain takes you in to invite you to this performance, but actually traps you and makes employs you in part of
the
sister, game.
Right?
Scarlet. So it's with the help of mysterious Tella whisks Scarlet away from the show. Only as soon as right, Tella is kidnapped. Oh, so it turns out that the season's Caraval revolves around. Okay, it's her sister that's trapped.
Sister that gets kidnapped. She's got to participate in the game to find her sister.
To get her sister out.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's terrible. That's
okay.
Actually...
I was thinking it was our main character that was trapped. Okay.
I would personally like that better.
I would have. That's what really interested me. Now that it's the sister a little bit lower, I'm thinking C tier below Akatar. Above Akatar. Okay.
The premise of this is at least more interesting, I think. It starts off with, you know, an interesting game, kidnappings, and like how does this game play, and like the sister trying to save each other. It all sounds pretty
I actually good. Have higher hopes for the villain. Maybe the villain has some motivation for this. What's their end goal? It's making me ask the question of why. Why does this game exist? It gives me a why. I like that.
I hope.
Because unlike Akatar's villain, who is just... How would you describe her as spoiler-free?
She's evil, and she's less pretty than the protagonist. That is the very important detail.
Way less pretty.
Way less pretty. I just, first introduction to her, like as soon as she's on the page.
Basically, it's this ugly bitch.
Well, no, she's pretty. She is pretty, but distinctly less pretty than Feyre.
Oh, yes. Has to be.
Has to be. Can't have that.
This next book is Daughter of No Worlds. This is part of the War of Lost Hearts series. And we're back to above a 4, okay? We're back.
Let me read this blurb.
Go ahead. I want to read away this blurb. I'm ready.
Okay.
Go ahead.
A former slave fighting for justice, a reclusive warrior who no longer believes it exists, and a dark magic that will entangle their fates. Ripped from a forgotten homeland as a child, Tisana? I guess it's just Tisana. Tisana learned how to survive with nothing but a sharp wit and a touch of magic. But the night she tries to buy her freedom, she barely escapes with her life. Desperate to save the best friend she left behind, Tisana journeys to the Orders, the most powerful organizations of magic wielders in the world. But to join their ranks, she must complete an apprenticeship with Maxitarius Frelloni.
Are you regretting wanting to read?
I don't like names.
Are you regretting this?
I like reading it. A handsome and reclusive fire wielder who despises the orders. The order's intentions are cryptic. Tisana must prove herself under the threat of looming war, but even more dangerous are her growing feelings for Maxitarius. The bloody past he wants to forget may be the key to her future, or the downfall of them both. But Tisana will stop at nothing to save those she abandoned, even if it means gambling in the Order's deadly games, even if it means sacrificing her heart, even if it means wielding death itself.
Not bad.
You know, sounds like there could be some cool action in there. And here's the main thing. I like that the romance is definitely is a bit more closely tied of her real goals. It's not just like she's kidnapped and she falls in love. It's more of a, you know, she has real goals in mind, to like actually has something to accomplish first, has agency,
has a plot first. Yes.
And then not just, oh, and then romance comes. It's no, we're promising that the romance will actually be kind of a hindrance to her goals. Mm. And that pull and push sounds pretty good.
Sounds another B tier?
I think so.
We'll go below that other one because
it
impressed me more. The bridge one?
Yeah.
We'll go B tier, but maybe that's the thing with romanticy where people who are not romanticy, we're not romanticy readers.
No.
The thing that we kind of look for is, you know how we were saying our Time Wars and our Grace of Kings, how it's niched down for a certain audience? Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a romanticy book out there. Like what book would actually get you to read a romanticy? What kind of plot line would it need? Something to get someone
fantasy. A little bit of this, because I'm a sucker for the underdog, you know, slave rising up against the masters, beating them down with cool magic. It sounds like this book's got a good amount of stuff that I would like in my normal epic fantasy stuff of, you know, slave turned warrior, uses magic to rise up against oppressors. Cool story. Now is going, but try. She has escaped, and now she has to go back to try and save her abandoned friend.
Right.
And the guilt that weighs on her that she got to escape, and her best friend didn't.
Interesting. Yeah.
Honestly, put it above Bridge One.
I'll do it.
Yeah, because that actually sounds... I probably would read that.
Would it be wrong to say... I'll give this example. You love your show. What's the space show you really like with the tests? Doctor Who.
Doctor Who.
Maybe
I used to like Doctor
Who. You like Doctor Who... Back in the day, the earlier seasons. David Tennant, right?
David All Tennant, Matt Smith. After that, no thank you.
All I mean is this, is when you have your sci-fi books you love, you love your Neuromancer, your Fire Upon the Deep, your Hyperion, your Dune, your highbrow, lot of things.
Pretentious.
Exactly.
Fan. Yeah.
But maybe there's even, you know, there's some fantasy with heavy romances that also have a good romance plotline and makes you really think of it. A great movie that's romance, La La Land, right? I'm trying to give the comparison of your Doctor Who in some regard. It's not as highbrow. It's not as, ooh, crazy, philosophical, deep.
Yeah, no, it's just fun.
But I'm trying to see the charm of romanticy can be, no, you're not going to get anything that's going to leave you thinking. You're not going to get remember when Tamlin fucked her? I don't even know what happens. It probably gets crazy. I've heard he does bad things. I've heard he does real bad things.
I heard he's the villain, basically.
I heard, too. He probably kills, slaughters, genocide. I don't know what Tamlin does.
Well, no, I don't think murdering innocent civilians is enough of a villain thing for, like, male protagonists, for the female, like, love interest thing. Like,
oh, no, he has to do something awful.
Yeah, like...
Worse than murder.
Kick her puppy or something. If he murders like tens of thousands of innocent people, that's still him being a bad boy, but not bad to her.
Right. You know what? It probably starts with gaslighting, then manipulating, and then sexual assault. It just keeps going up the ladder.
He did nibble on her that one time.
That was assault. That was. I don't know why everyone looks past that.
It's tech. Well, yes, if we were in our normal world.
He's 500 years old.
That's also
she's like 17. This is not normal. I'm sorry, but it's... Anyways,
that's just the genre. You have to get past that. Then we're in the realm of like...
Then we're in the realm.
Yeah,
got it.
Like, you got to accept some things of just, oh, yeah, actually, you know, It's 500 years old. It's fine. Age is just a number in romance books, apparently.
I'm saying this with ACOTAR, that whole reviewing that with you and reading that book. Again, I will stand by the best 4 out of 10 book ever. I had an amazing, awful, great time.
Yeah, no, it was weird.
It was fun to talk about it with you.
Oh, yeah. It was. It's something of, oh, this is definitely outside of our wheelhouse and just a...
That's what made it fun.
Yeah, no. Yeah. It's something I wouldn't... That's the thing. Imagine reading a... Like, if we didn't read a lot of fantasy, it'd be fun to read a kind of a weird, campy fantasy that isn't that good.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
Because, like... You don't know all the good that it can do. So us reading it going, we get to kind of make fun of the genre. We don't have as many examples to compare against to see how bad it really is. It's all we see. So we're going, we actually see the more of the positives.
Kings of the Wild.
Sure.
Kings of the Wild gives me, even for people that love it, it's very campy. It's very, hey, we're just going to combine a bunch of fantasy tropes and stuff, and here you go.
Yeah.
Kind of just does it pretty well. Kind of mid.
Vacation starts with VA. Whether you're feeling beachy, mountainy, or every-y in between, you'll find all that you love all in one trip to Virginia. Start yours at virginia.org.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Kind of, well, it's like, it's good. Yeah. It's fine. So maybe ACOTAR is that version.
I'd say ACOTAR is a little lower than Kings of the Wild, but yes.
Okay, fair enough. All right, this next book is called Divine Rivals, and the series is Letters of Enchantment, written by Rebecca Ross, okay?
Okay.
This book is, when two young rival journalists find love through a magical connection, they must face the depths of hell in a war among gods to seal their fate forever. After centuries of sleep, the gods are warning again, but 18-year-old Iris Winnow just wants to hold her family together. Her mother is suffering from addiction, and her brother is missing from the front lines. Her best bet is to win the columnist promotion at the Oath Gazette. To combat her worries, Iris writes letters to her brother and slips them beneath her wardrobe door, where they vanish into the hands of Roman Kit, her cold and handsome rival at the paper. When he anonymously writes Iris back, the two of them forge a connection that will follow Iris all the way to the front lines of battle for her brother, the fate of mankind, and love. You know?
Not bad. No. Not a bad premise.
Do you like those journalist settings, too, where you have more of your... I'm trying to think of another example.
Time Wars, talking about it through letters mostly.
Sure, but I mean journalists like Lewis Lane, you know, Superman, Lewis Lane, Clark Kent, Lewis, like your journalist setting.
I don't hate it. I don't love it. I'm kind of neutral on it. Okay, but this one doesn't sound that bad to me.
What are we thinking?
I think maybe Top of C.
Top of C. I can get behind Top of C. Yeah. I like Carvel more because Carvel had that cool theme of
a little trapping, something.
And it made me ask a question.
Sure.
This one, I'm not asking too many questions.
Also, you kind of look at
D tier.
Yeah, because the romance is like he's hot and nearby.
Yeah, it doesn't seem
not a lot of like friction or like what is there? What is though? Hey, maybe that's actually refreshing if it's not a tumultuous like enemies still ever seeing. It's actually just like
normal
romance. Like, hey, he's hot and nearby. That's kind of what normally happens.
I want a romance to see where it's like, hey, he pays his taxes.
Yeah.
He's not.
Look, he has a symmetrical face, pays his taxes. and his car is paid off.
That's great. He's nice to his mother. That's a good sign.
He calls his mother on the weekend. He
calls his mother. What romantic. But can there be a wish fulfillment for looking for just a normal guy?
Ooh.
Come on now.
Is that a thing? A romanticy that is targeted toward wish fulfillment for guys. It's the exact same book, but you take the male's perspective and make the man far less attractive and make him far more average.
That's called every fantasy book where the woman, the female character just has large breasts and googly eyes.
Yes, but you could twist it. I think there's a book. I think there's a book in there of like, there's clearly like the female band character is genuinely like clearly the protagonist.
Yeah.
And she's pining after the male character who is for some stupid reason. But clearly it's more of the male self-insert character. The male can feel like, oh, the hero woman is actually interested in me. I think there's something there for it.
I think so.
It could be a fun reversal on the genre.
So just a dorky guy.
Yes.
Or a normal guy. How normal do you want to get here?
I want to go dorky. Just okay. Because like a little bit more parody of the genre.
But it's from
far
the,
more
but it's
from the man's perspective.
But that's like, a no, lot of stories.
No, romanticy book from the man's perspective.
Okay.
And make make it kind of funny. Of the guy is a little more cardboard face, more dopey's like just make him so much of a self-insert character and how weird it would be to be that background character for the protagonist to be.
I feel like there's a lot of wish fulfillment where it's the guy like aren't there books like that, right?
Oh, there's plenty of wish fulfillment, but they're normally focused on so male wish fulfillment. From my perspective, the man is still the main character. That's generally...
You're saying she's the main character.
She's still the main character.
But it's written from whose perspective? It's written from the guy's perspective.
Exactly.
Though. So doesn't that make him the protagonist?
No.
If it's written from his...
No, all the plot happens with her.
Okay.
He's the one that...
You're...
The exact same book.
This is... I don't know where you're going with this. I feel like you're cooking. I don't know.
I want the main... A male character.
Okay.
Boring. He's a plot device.
He's just
but
there.
It's from his point
so it's
of view.
Like Great Gatsby, where it's about somebody else.
Yes.
I follow. So
it's Great Gatsby.
Gatsby's the cool one. Who the hell is the point of view in Great Gatsby? We don't even know. It was freaking Tobey Maguire. Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man 3 guy in a romanticy.
I want
around
Great Gatsby. Romanticy book.
I think we got somewhere with this.
Yeah.
And it's good we did because the very next book is the big chonker right here.
Is this the big boy?
Fourth Wing.
I still got it on my shelf.
Oh, me too.
Where is it?
Here's another thing we can promise.
It's somewhere.
Rich, we can promise this. We will read Fourth Wing one day.
One day we will.
One day we will.
Yeah.
If we don't die
I
by
bought
the time.
The book.
You know, God willing, we survive.
Well, maybe not God willing, but... The devil willing. Maybe.
Maybe we'll make it. And Fourth Wing will be on that list.
Yeah.
Fourth Wing. This is, if you're watching this video, you might have read Fourth Wing. It says this, okay? Do you know anything about Fourth Wing?
I know Dragon Riders it's Dragon Riders, Harry Potter, romance.
That seems like a good description. Because here's what it is. So, enter the brutal and elite world of a war college for Dragon Riders. 21-year-old Violet Soringale was supposed to enter the Scribe Quadrant, living a quiet life among books and history. Now, the commanding general, also known as her toughest talent's mother, has ordered Violet to join the hundreds of candidates striving to become the elite of Navarre, Dragon Riders. But when you're smaller than everyone else and your body is brittle, death is only a heartbeat away because dragons don't bond to fragile humans. They incinerate them. With fewer dragons willing to bond than cadets, most would kill Violet to better their own chances of success. The rest would kill her just for being her mother's daughter, like Zayden Ryerson, the most powerful and ruthless wing leader in the Rider Squadron. She'll need every edge her wits can give her just to see the next sunrise. Yet, every day that passes, the war outside grows more deadly, the kingdom's protective wards are fouling, and the death toll continues to rise. Even worse, Violet begins to suspect leadership is hiding a terrible secret. Friends, enemies, lovers, everyone at Bazageth War College has an agenda, because once you enter, there are only two ways out: graduate or die.
This sounds far more like a like a fantasy book with romance probably in it.
I was going to say, we didn't even get a lot of romance with who she falls in love with or what kind of
I have a feeling that this is this probably going to be more fantasy plot line, and then she also has a couple one night
love stands. Triangle, like, or and yeah, like it says here, friends, enemies, lovers. There's probably something going on there.
She probably has a couple boy toys along the side while she's going to dragon school.
The bully character
cool stuff. Yeah, you know, she's tough shit. She's cool. She can ride dragons,
but
she gets strong.
She's brittle, and she what do you think?
Brittle thing?
Yeah, so her body's brittle. Death is only a heartbeat away.
Is that just
she's smaller than everybody else?
Is that just saying like she's small?
Yeah, saying she's smaller than everyone else. Body's okay. Brittle. Death a heartbeat away. So, what do you think her character arc is here?
I hope it's not what I often see, and unfortunately, is the. Actually, I just need to realize how awesome I am already, and then let everyone else realize it. I don't need to grow. I just need to grow the confidence.
I just need other people to recognize my significance.
Yeah, I hope it's not that. I hope it's actually...
It's got some juice to it.
Something about growth and actually changing yourself for the better. I hope it's that.
Okay.
There's too many books of just... Oh, yeah, I am great. I just, you know, no one else recognizes it.
This story has, it has taken Book Talk, BookTube by storm, mainly Book Talk.
Mm-hmm.
It has 1.6 million ratings, and it came out, like, what, a year or two ago? This is a new book. 2023 it came out. This came out a year ago in May, literally almost a year to this date.
Yeah. There's got to be something, I guess, in there that's probably good.
It has a 4.58. on Goodreads.
Jesus Christ.
Rich, get this right.
Jesus.
4.58 on Goodreads.
That's higher than
with
all of the
1.6 million ratings. No, well, Stormlight has higher. Stormlight has 4.6, but 4.58 rating. That's, with that many ratings, that is
impressive.
That's incredible. Because even you could imagine with a book that popular, people will go on and hate it and start start reviewing it. Like, how has that not happened? People must love this book.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
We are going to read this one. I just don't know when.
Don't know when, but that's a high rating. And can I say this little guilty pleasure of mine?
Uh-huh.
I love me a good Dark Academia. I love me good dragons. That's two tropes I like. And in this description, it didn't even say anything about... I mean, the romance seems like it will be a thing, but the focus
more
was...
More of a subplot.
Focus was War College. Yeah, well, let's see what happens. I don't know. I'm suggesting. Can I suggest?
Go ahead.
A tier.
Honestly, I'd still put it bottom of B.
Let's negotiate. Top of B. I said A. You said bottom B. Top of B.
I will acquiesce.
All right. Top of B. Fourth Wing makes it, and we still got that early book. Still impress us the
most.
Sounds
good.
A Fate Inked in Blood.
Sounds
fun. Is apparently the
also,
best so far.
Cover looks cool. Title's good. Those are good enough for me.
Fourth Wing, though, sounds... I'm just impressed. Yeah. I'm impressed by the ratings. I am impressed.
Here's the thing that I'm worried about.
Yeah.
Is it sounds like your average fantasy novel, like just Dragon Rider, where I've read that before, and it doesn't sound like the romance is as emphasized, which... If I'm going to read a romantasy book, I kind of want a juicy, good romance.
I get you.
You get what I mean? Like, if I'm going to read a romance book, I want, like, a romance book. I don't want a subpar fantasy book with better than average romance.
Because if a romantasy is promising you romance, the best romantasy could be, I promise you romance, and I exceed your expectation by giving you romance and War College. That's what you'd want.
Yes.
Not, I'll give you War College, and then... surpass your expectation by also giving you good romance.
Yeah, it's just the preference. Because I've seen all of the Dark Academia stuff before. I get it. if that's the focus, I probably won't enjoy it as nearly as much.
Here's the thing, too. Rebecca Yarros, I don't know that the author of Fourth Wing could have gone into this with wanting to do like fantasy and then ended up being romanticy because there was a strong love interest or there was something that developed there. But this book could have been one of those things where it was a plot first. I don't know. Maybe she came up with the idea first and then went, possible. Hey, I'll throw in this. Because a lot of romanticy books, I imagine, maybe come romance first.
Sure.
Kind of how we were discussing at the beginning. All these sci-fi books, I bet you Dune, I know with some of these other books, they come in with idea first. Werner Vinge with Fire Upon the Deep is, well, let me look at the singularity.
Yeah.
And then he writes a book around
the AI singularity.
And then goes from there. You could tell he's going for singularity. And
it's the idea
first. It's the idea first. So with Fourth Wing, idea first could have been, oh, what about a college dragon rider where you could you either die or graduate? Ooh, then what do you do? Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Just,
the whole setting is not as interesting to me. So that's the thing.
Fair enough. Maybe sounds this, okay. Maybe this next one will do it. It's called From Blood and Ash by Jennifer L. Armentrout. Okay?
Okay.
Here's what it is. A maiden, chosen from birth to usher in a new era, Poppy's life has never been her own. The life of the maiden is solitary, never to be touched, never to be looked upon, never to be spoken to, never to experience pleasure. Waiting for the day of her ascension, she would rather be with the guards, fighting back the evil that took her family, than preparing to be found worthy by the gods. But the choice has never really been hers. A duty. The entire kingdom's future rests on Poppy's shoulders, something she's not even quite sure she wants for herself, because a maiden has a heart and a soul and longing. And when Hawk, a golden-eyed guard honor, bound to ensure her ascension, enters her life, destiny and duty become tangled with desire and need. He entices her anger, makes her question everything she believes in, and tempts her with forbidden love. Or with the forbidden, not forbidden love. I added that. Sorry. A kingdom. Forsaken by the gods and feared by mortals, a fallen kingdom is rising once more, determined to take back what they believe is theirs. I'm done. It sounds so generic. I'm putting this in the bottom.
I don't
even want to continue. I'm sorry. It's rated high. Fuck that. I feel like we're not being assertive enough with our opinions.
I was feeling the
I'm
same
feeling
way.
I'll go drain. Like,
so you took a nun and you're...
Epic fantasy tier. That's going...
The nun actually...
Bride,
the nun
power.
Wants to bone. That's basically the story, right?
Rich, I got bored reading that out loud. I bored myself.
Yeah.
You hear that reverberation? went through. I just think no matter how good or bad the book is, the blurb is one of the... it's just that cliche thing like a maiden, a duty, a kingdom. It's those cheesy trailers you used to see back in like the early 2000s of one day... The protagonist game, and then featuring Jason Bourne. You know, one of those things. Yeah. Okay, we're going to the next one.
Yeah, let me read this next one.
Okay, let me pull it up for you. This one is called Kingdom of the Wicked. Of the Wicked, and this is the Kingdom of the Wicked series.
I wonder if there's any rest for them.
Oh, rest? What do you mean?
A song reference.
Oh,
it's fine.
Okay.
I thought maybe you would get
all right,
the reference.
Just read
it
and shut up.
Two sisters, one brutal murder, a quest for vengeance that will unleash hell itself, and an intoxicating romance. Talk about...
That's basically the trailer. Yeah.
Amelia and her twin sister, Vittoria, are Strethi. Witches who live secretly among humans, avoiding notice and persecution. One night, Vittoria misses dinner service at the family's renowned Sicilian restaurant. Amelia soon finds the body of her beloved twin desecrated beyond belief. Devastated, Amelia sets out to find her sister's killer and seek vengeance at any cost, even if it means using dark magic that's been long forgotten. Then Amelia meets Wraith, one of the wicked princes of hell she has been warned against in tales since she was a child. Wraith claims to be on Amelia's side, tasked by his master with solving the series of women's murders on the island. But when it comes to the wicked, nothing is as it seems.
Rich, I just couldn't help but think when you're saying witches disguising in amongst people and a Sicilian restaurant, I'm just thinking Wizards of Waverly Place and like an aged up version. That's all I could think about right now.
Yeah.
And I liked Wizards of Waverly Place.
Sure.
It was a good Disney show. But that, what did you think of that?
It's fine, I guess.
Right? It has it doesn't deserve the hate we've been giving a couple of these. It doesn't deserve the love we've been giving a couple of these. That sounds like we don't have...
Sounds like a solid D.
I was going to say the same thing. Let's go D here and not expand on our opinion any further. Wait, where is that on the tier list? Oh, there it is.
No,
yep. Yeah, it's that one right there.
Yeah, you got it.
Bottom? Behind bottom. That. That makes sense. Okay. Our next one here is called Guild. Okay?
Read it out.
Here we go. Guild is... The series is called The Plated Prisoner. And this is by Raven Kennedy. This, warning everybody, has the worst score amongst all of them by far on Goodreads.
I want to be the contrarian and like it.
I think we should read it. It's got a 3.59. Those are rough numbers.
Oh, that's a rough
number. If you're
getting
mid threes on Goodreads, you should probably quit your job.
Oh.
I don't know. Let me look at some of the top reviews are saying. We got 2-star, 4-star, 2-star, 3-star, 4-star, 1-star, 2-star, 1-star.
Real.
It's a little rough. That's a little rough. You want? What if I read the top thing of one of the 1-star reviews quick? It says, I got 76% through this to realize it's just torture porn. There is zero romance. The MC is a crying weakling. All the men are rapey. This is not a good time at all. That's not a good sign going into this blurb. Not going to lie, that might influence our opinion a little bit. I don't know.
Gotta say, torture porn ain't for me.
And also...
Not my thing.
You know, sometimes comments like that...
Also, not a fan of the rapey guys.
I was going to say...
Not a big...
Sometimes when you feel down on yourself, don't you ever go, no one's ever called me rapey vibes. That is a positive.
That is a positive.
No one's ever said that.
I've been insulted many times before. That is not one of them.
At worst, you're creepy guy.
Never rapey. Honestly, I've never even been called creepy. I've been called awkward and weird, but not creepy.
Awkward and weird are more endearing, too.
Yeah.
Those are a little endearing turns. That's totally fine. If that's
here's the thing.
Yep.
Maybe someone called me creepy behind my back and didn't tell
that.
In my face.
You don't know that.
But I don't know it. Yep. I'm going to live in ignorance. Blissful ignorance.
And that's okay.
That's all.
That's okay. Let's see what this... Okay. This is what the book's about. Not good going in. The Fae... Oh, it's about fairies.
Oh,
okay.
God.
Here we go. Is it just the worst ACOTAR? Okay. The Fae abandoned this world to us, and the ones with power to rule. Gold. Gold floors, gold walls, gold furniture, gold clothes. In Hybel, in the castle built into the frozen mountains, everything is made of gold. Even me. Oh, like a Midas... here we go. King Midas rescued me, dug me out of the slums, and placed me on a pedestal. I'm called his precious, his favored. I'm the woman he gold-touched to show everyone that I belong to him, to show how powerful he is. He gave me protection, and I gave him my heart. And even though I don't leave the confines of this palace, I'm safe. Until war comes to the kingdom and a deal is struck. Suddenly, my trust is broken, my love is challenged, and I realize that everything I thought I knew about Midas might be wrong. Because these bars I'm kept in, no matter how gilded, are still just a cage, but the monsters on the other side may make me wish I'd never left. It's the myth of King Midas reimagined, this compelling adult fantasy series, addictive and unexpected, with romance, intrigue, and danger. Gilded Warriors of Oria will grip you from the very first page. Can I jump in and say one thing?
Go ahead.
Somewhat interesting concept.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, like, hey, romance, like, honestly, more of a cautionary romance tale on Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, that actually...
That's not a... Okay, on... It sounds like it. The book probably indulges too much into the, like, actual abuse part of it to be enjoyable. But concept in general is not a terrible idea for a story.
And that has
of a good lesson.
That has the potential for a fantastic message and theme.
Sure.
Like, holy crap. Using fantasy and how having... You are complete gold, touched by Midas, and you have to stay there forever. And you trusted him with all your... And then where does that lead? What does that say? Whoa.
It's not,
what a cool concept.
Not a bad concept.
Not at all.
If we're just judging it on the blurb.
Yeah. What a turnaround. We can't judge it on the 3.5 rating or the horrible comments. Just on the blurb. Here's the thing.
If it's just the blurb, decent. If it just, like, the whole book is torture porn.
Epic fantasy tier.
Epic fan. Like, that's the thing. If that comment's true.
To clarify.
Epic fantasy tier.
But,
that's all it is.
But just on that, I'm not even kidding. Like, what would you say?
I'm thinking like top of C.
Rich, I'm thinking just concept alone. All okay. These, we've been hearing werewolf stories. We've been hearing vampire stuff. You see these kind of typical tropes, the dark academia, war guilds, mm-hmm. things we've heard of. It seems very unique. Just concept alone, I'm thinking A. Imagine if you could, which of these books would you want to?
I would read it more than Fourth Wing, though.
Read what? This more than Fourth
Wing? I'd put it above Fourth Wing.
Yeah, which Fourth Wing's top of B. So it would go A. You're agreeing.
Fine. Okay, fine, see, I guess. I'm just saying, I would.
Which of these books, maybe not to just read, would you want to write? Of all these stories.
Oh, I would be very uncomfortable writing it. I would not write it.
Oh. But. I thought you'd be compelled to be like, oh, what kind of moral answer could you figure out through this and like to discover? Oh,
I don't want to be put in charge of that. I don't want that responsibility.
Okay. We're putting the awful book guild, which is definitely horrible because it has low ratings and rapey vibes. We're putting it in A tier. Oh, okay.
Let's just hope it's not as rapey or tortury as the comments suggest.
We can hope.
We live in ignorance because we're probably not going to read it.
Maybe the democracy is wrong.
That is true.
Maybe.
However, when the democracy is insisting that it's a little bit rapey, normally
not the best.
I sometimes trust the democracy. Sometimes. Sometimes they get it right.
All right, this next one here, I think it is, if I have my thing correct, is Once Upon a Broken Heart. Once Upon a Broken Heart is this one here. And it is by Stephanie Garber. You want me to read this one off to you?
Let me do it.
Okay, go ahead. Decent rating. We're back to the good territory.
Decent rating. How far would you go for happily ever after? For as long as she can remember.
Well, what's this word?
Evangeline Fox. Sure. Evangeline Fox has believed in true love and happy endings.
Okay.
Until she learns that the love of her life will marry another. Desperate to stop the wedding and to heal her wounded heart, Evangeline strikes a deal with the charismatic but wicked Prince of Hearts. In exchange for his help, he asks for 3 kisses to be given at the time and place of his choosing. But after Evangeline's first promised kiss, she learns that bargaining with an immortal is a dangerous game, and that the Prince of Hearts wants far more from her than she'd pledged. He had plans for Evangeline, plans that will either end in the greatest happily ever after or the most exquisite tragedy.
Nothing crazy bad. Nothing crazy good. I think that's right about average. Below, I would say ACOTAR is even above that. I would say
from the blurb, I'd put below. This one above.
You
just
would?
Because like it seems a bit more streamlined and not like, I don't know. ACOTAR is like, it's a bit out there. It's just like kind of cliche. This one, I don't know.
Fair enough. We'll put it right above there.
Also, it seems that there's an actual, probably a decent message in here about like the main characters. Probably actually going to learn something and learn and change. That's the hope.
Has an arc.
What was
Feyre's arc without spoiling?
Believe in love, I guess. It's not much of an arc, really. Yeah, that's about it. Yeah. I don't know. It's not a good one.
It was the book itself was
love is pain.
Yeah.
Love should be painful and suffering. And if you're not suffering for your
love, it's not true love.
It's not true love.
We learned
a lot. Unless you're being physically abused, it's not true love. That's what I learned from A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Clip that. All right, this next book is called One Dark Window by Rachel Gillig. And this is Elspeth needs a monster. The monster might be her. Elspeth Spindle needs more than luck to stay safe in the eerie, mist-locked kingdom of Blunder. She needs a monster. She calls him the Nightmare, an ancient mercurial spirit trapped in her head. He protects her. He keeps her secret. But nothing comes for free, especially magic. When Elspeth meets a mysterious highwayman on the forest road, her life takes a drastic turn. Thrust into a world of shadow and deception, she joins a dangerous quest to cure Blunder from the dark magic infecting it. And the highwayman, he just so happens to be the king's nephew, captain, and most dangerous man in Blunder, and guilty of high treason. Together, they must gather 12 Providence cards, the keys to the cure. But as the stakes heighten and their undeniable attraction intensifies, Elspeth is forced to face her darkest secret yet. The nightmare is slowly to... Where do you want it? Where do you want it?
F
tier? Okay.
Sounds boring.
All right.
I got bored listening to that.
All right. The next one's called Powerless, and this is the Powerless Trilogy.
I thought a great title. That's why do I want to read about the Powerless? I want power. I desire power and authority. And dominion over all.
Maybe this series is about them gaining power over time.
I hope so.
This is what the story is about. She is the very thing he spent his whole life hunting. He is the very thing she spent her whole life pretending to be. Only the extraordinary belong in the kingdom of Ilya. The exceptional, the empowered, the elites. The powers these elites have possessed for decades were graciously gifted to them by the plague, though not all were fortunate enough to both survive the sickness and reap the reward. Those born ordinary are just that, ordinary. And when the king decreed that all ordinaries be banished in order to preserve his elite society, lacking in ability suddenly became a crime, making Peyton Gray a felon by fate and a thief by necessity. Surviving in the slums as... I want to finish this video. I'm done with romanticism.
That's fair.
We'll see you all next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye, y'all.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.